Well, good morning. Good morning. We do want to welcome everyone here today. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you. And we pray that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon your heart and upon your life this morning, that something we say or do, led by the Spirit of God, will touch your heart and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. But we do want to thank you for being here today. We pray a mighty move of the Spirit of God upon your life. We do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings. Last Sunday, tithe and offerings, as you can see in your bulletin, was $1,479. So thank you for your giving. You know, God says in, I think it's Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and his glory. God says, God has told the church, me, God has told you and I what we have to do. And when we do what we do, it says that God will supply the needs that we have. That's God. That's God. Do what God says, and God will come in by the Spirit of the Lord and meet every need, want, and desire according to his will. But I pray the blessings of God upon you and upon your family as you obey the Spirit of the Lord. Don't forget, on Sunday mornings we have prayer from 9 to 9:30. Also, next Sunday is Easter Sunday, okay? So we will have church not at 10 o'clock, but at 9 o'clock, okay? So 9 o'clock. That means you have to get up a little earlier. You have to go to bed a little earlier and get here on time. So next Sunday at 9 o'clock. Also, we want to wish Joseph and Jess East a happy anniversary. How many years is it going to be? 8 years, though. 8 years. Wow. 8 years. 8 years, three kids, one dog, three chickens. Used to have a hamster, I think. You have eight chickens. You have eight altogether. Three are roaming around my house right now looking for food. Five are still a little cooped up. They're small. You know, all that. So in 8 years, they did pretty good. So, amen. That's my daughter. Okay. That's my daughter and my son-in-law, which is their son. Amen. Okay, men's meeting. Yes, men's meeting Saturday, April 27th at 6:30 in the building across the street. Okay? So, I'm going to think of it. Oh, Andrew. Andrew went a week or two ago to the prison, the Mayan Parish Prison. And this is my son. He's going tomorrow to preach. And so that's from 1 to 2. To 1 to 2. And the day after, yeah, he's going this two Mondays in a row. So he's going this Monday, and he's going next Monday. You might say, you know, God put that upon his heart to go and preach the gospel. You know, the last time he went, they had 50 or 60 people. That's not just guys. It's ladies, too. They had some four ladies that went, and all the rest were guys that just listened to the word, listened to the preaching of the gospel. That's tomorrow. You know, we need to pray, people. He may go and preach, but we have to pray. Lord, send the harvest in. Those are souls, you know, from 12 to 1. If you are able to, pray for him. You know, 1 to 2. I'm sorry, 1 to 2. So if you're able to pray for him, you know, pray for him that God, at that time, you might have, maybe you're free from 1 to 2, that you can pray and ask God to move as he's preaching the gospel. You know, let God be God in your heart. We need prayer people that can shake the kingdom of God and can shake the kingdom of the other kingdom. That's not good. Shake that kingdom and let loose of people because of great harvest, because Jesus is coming, and we need to get ready. So if you're able to do that tomorrow, okay, and next Monday, amen. Well, kids, I know we have kids out there, and Lord, we pray right now, Father, help our workers and the kids to understand your word and plant it deep within their hearts and deep within their lives this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Let it roll.
Praise God, praise God. What a God we serve. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before you this day. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Does anybody know what today is? Sunday.
I like that.
Yeah, Sunday. Today's Sunday.
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday, you're right. Palm Sunday. You know, next Sunday, we're going to be talking about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. There has never been a God, you know, and when I say God, you know, little g, how they, you know, little g gods. There's never been a God that has done what our God has done. And there never will be another God like our God. We know, you know, it talks about in Genesis chapter 3, you know, it talks about the creation, where it talks a little bit about the creation of man, and God set man in the garden. And they were in that garden, and God had made everything wonderful for them. I mean, it was just great. Can, you know, honestly, it's hard for me to imagine a place where there's no disease, you know, where there's no heartache, no pain, no suffering at all. But we know when God created the earth, well, recreated the earth. There was something before that. When God recreated the earth and put man and created man, created Adam and Eve, he put them with all the animals and all the things that are needed for us to live. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. And he told them that they could do, you know, live and do whatever they wanted, just take care of it, take care of the animals, do, you know, whatever. But he said there's one thing you cannot do, and that was to eat of that one tree, the fruit of that one tree. That's our God. Our God says this, I want you to serve me. Because you love me. Don't serve me because you have to. But our God, our Lord and Savior, wants us to serve him because we love him. We care about him. Not that we're perfect. Let me tell you, there's no one perfect in this world at all. No matter how godly they may be, no matter how godly they may look on the outside, inside, you know, we're a fallen man. We have a sin nature on the inside of us. And that thing comes out sometimes. And we have to go to God and let God, by the Holy Spirit, subdue that thing on the inside of us. So that it doesn't rise up and come and help us and make us do things that we don't want to do. Because of the Spirit of God, when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, it says the resurrection power of our God now lives inside of us. Praise God. Not just a power, but the resurrected power of our God lives in us. But God made all these things, and he said, don't eat of that one fruit. And we know old Slewfoot. You know, at one time he reigned over the whole earth, and he did all that stuff, and so he comes, and he goes to the woman, tempts her, and then she goes to the man. But in the end result, we know they fall. They fall to the temptation that has been set before them. You know, I'm sure that was something that was hard for God, to see his creation, even though he knew beforehand, even before the creation of the earth, even before the creation of humanity, even before the creation of human beings, that God knew that humanity would fall because it was preordained. He knew it would happen. But he had already made a plan for us. Already made a plan. That's the kind of God that loves his people. That he would already make a plan before the mistake or the sin or the evil came about and destroyed or almost destroyed humanity. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9, starting with verse 9. Last week we talked a little bit about Judas and his betrayal of Jesus. We're going to talk about a few things leading up to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus had to come. You know, I know we struggle and say, well, you know, when Jesus, there was no question in the mind of God that Jesus would rise from the grave because there was nothing to keep him in the grave. I said, what do you mean? There was no sin in him to keep us in the grave, to keep him in the grave. So he was going to resurrect. You know, we're born of sin when we come into the world. But Jesus wasn't. Look at this. Zechariah 9:9, which is one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. Here we see. I want you to see this in the Old Testament. I want you to see that what was prophesied in the old would happen in the new. And here we see, we are celebrating today. Today is Palm Sunday, they call it. And there are many things around that. Palm Sunday happened a week before the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It was exactly 7 days before that happened. And so here we see we're celebrating, you know, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Sunday. Now, we know Friday's coming around, which we know it's a time where we have the death of our Lord and Savior as he's put into the tomb. And then on Sunday, he resurrects from the grave, brings liberty and freedom, and does many other little things in the meantime. But here we see a week before, they would nail our Savior to the cross. We see this jubilant praise and honor and love towards our God. Now, it was prophesied in the Old Testament by the prophet Zechariah that this would happen. You know, we've been studying the book of Revelation. It's an amazing thing to me to see things in the Old Testament that correlate with things in Revelation. It's amazing. I mean, you wouldn't think, but God knows how to interwine things into scriptures and bring it about in the book of Revelation to bring about what will happen in the future and what's going to happen. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Because we serve an amazing God. Wow. That just loves his people. You know, I was thinking about that scripture, John 3:16. We know that's probably the most famous scripture for all humanity. I think just about everybody in the church knows this scripture. John 3:16, we know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Just like I said, just about everybody in the church world, if you want to say it that way, talking about Christianity, if you want to put it in a whole lump sum of a religion, if you want to say it that way, probably knows that scripture the best. And thank God, you know, that God gave his Son for us. And we know he didn't do it for his own sake. He gave him for us so that we would have liberty and freedom if we took what he gave us. You see, we have a choice. of having liberty and freedom if we want it, or we can live in bondage if we want to. It depends on what we do here upon the earth. If we invite him to be our Lord and Savior, if we invite him to live with us daily on a daily basis, as we worship our God and praise him and honor him. But here we see Zechariah prophesy that this would happen. And we know the scripture came about where one week before his death that it happened in Matthew. Now let's read the scriptures in Matthew. Matthew chapter 21, please. Matthew 21, look at verse 1. Starting with verse 1. It says, when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you will find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway, or immediately, he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes unto you, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, that the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, or a Sabbath, you want to say that, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread garments in the way. Others cut down branches from trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the people was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the son of Nazareth of Galilee. The one thing I've realized just talking with people, been in ministry a long time. Sometimes people don't think their value of worth is much. You know, they don't think they're worth much or valuable. But in the kingdom of God, everyone is very valuable to God, no matter they're in the kingdom or not. Because with God, sending his son Jesus to die upon that cross, he did it because he loved humanity. That's why he will speak to people to leave and go to foreign lands and to areas and to unknown places that you would think of to preach the gospel because of the love that he has. And he would place that upon people's hearts and lives to do. Here we see something that happened that was very unusual. Jesus told two of his disciples, go and get the ass and the colt that's with you, and just take it. And if they say something, just say the master has need of them. And here the two disciples were going to get these two animals. Now, can you imagine they are going up and they are tying these animals, and the owner might come out and say, "What are you doing?" And all you can say as you stand there is, the master has need of him. And hopefully they say, okay, but God knew what was going on here. God used these two guys, the disciples, to bring two animals to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to fulfill a prophecy that had been prophesied by Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was a true prophet. He was a minor prophet. There's major and minor prophets, but he was a true prophet. We have many prophets that say they're prophets that are prophets today. Watch what they say and see if it happens. We were talking about something in Bible study Thursday. It was funny. The little book that came out, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Coming in 1988, and He didn't come. So the guy wrote another book, Why Jesus Would Come, and 89 Reasons Why Jesus Would Come, and He didn't come in 89. After two strikes, you need to get the message. This guy's not a true prophet, okay? You know, you hear something, always measure it. I'm telling you, I teach you that. Measure it. Measure it, number one, by the word. Measure it by if those things happen or not. Now, do you think, Pastor, do you think there are true prophets? Let me tell you, yes. Because the Bible says so. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, that God is raising up and has the fivefold ministry working throughout the world. We may not see much, maybe a lot of prophets, but they're there. And God's going to raise up many prophets to come on board and to prophesy, thus saith the Lord, and to see that what they say is happening in the world, or will happen in that local church, or will happen in that local family. The power of God, let me tell you, don't ever limit the power of God. These two disciples, I guess they didn't limit what God could do. When Jesus said to do it, they did it. People, we need to get on that board that when Jesus says something, or He speaks something through His word, that we get it and we do it. No matter what it may look like, that we believe the word of God above anything else, above any other report that may come forth. Whose report shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. My Lord, believe what God says about your finances. Believe what God says about your health. Believe what God says about salvation to come forth for your family. I know probably every one of us in here, we all have family members that we think, Lord, if you don't do something, I don't know who can do anything with them. They're hard. They don't want to know God. But I tell you what, if God can save Saul's life, God can change anybody. Yeah. If God can change my life and your life, God can change anybody's life. We serve a miracle-working God. Miracle-working God. And they got those two animals and they brought them to Jesus. They put their clothes upon Him. That's an act of love. Has anybody ever gone out of their way for you and you knew it? I mean, out of their way. That they didn't have to buy you this or do this or say this. They went out of their way to do something good for you. And it's like you feel so hungry. And you appreciate it because you know they're doing it out of love for their God and out of love for you. And that does something on the inside. They took their own clothes and put it upon those they put it upon them. And Jesus got it. Now, He was riding a coat that had never been ridden. Ever tried to ride a coat that's never been ridden? You'll get up with a lot of bruises. And maybe a few broken limbs. But let me tell you, God is the God that can tame any animal. And let me tell you, God is a God that can do miracles, signs, and wonders. As we believe Him, what He can do. He got on that coat and started riding in. And the praise that came forth for our God. Can you imagine, yes, He knew He would die in a week or so. And we know it probably wasn't these people that killed Him. We know it was the religious sect that finally got Him on the cross and killed Him. Because they could hear in Jerusalem the praise that was going forth for Jesus. They got so excited about their God that they just started, they started taking some of their clothes off, the outer garments, and laying it at the feet of the cloak, so that it would not walk on dirty ground. They didn't have pavement like us, you know, the asphalt or the cement. So they didn't even want the Messiah's coat to walk and get its paws dirty, because there was all kinds of stuff, you know, getting from all kind of animals and everything that held the world. They started just laying down their clothes. And, you know, just my aspect of things as I read it and study it, people were looking to do something more. And all of a sudden they see these trees, palm trees, and they just start cutting down branches and just laying that down because they had nothing else to give. When it seems like we give Jesus our all, it seems like we have nothing else to give, God makes a way that we can give something else to Him. Because you see, there's always a way that we can give something to God. There's always something we can give. You know, when that little lady, the collectors had come to her house, and I know preachers a while back, not long, and they said, "We want your two sons because you can't pay the mortgage anymore, because you can't pay your debtors anymore." And she looked and said, "Oh my Lord," because her husband had died, and the prophet Isaiah comes in. But she goes to him and says, "What can I do? What shall I do?" And what does he ask her? He says, "What do you have?" That's what our God will say. "Job, what do you have? Job, what do you have?" And all of a sudden she said, "I have a little bit of oil." He said, "Okay, you have a little bit of oil. We'll work with that. Go and get all the bowls you can. Get all the barrels you can. Get everything you can from your neighbors. I mean, get everything you can." She didn't know what was going to happen. She did it by faith in what God told her, or the prophet told her to do. You see, sometimes God will position us, because this is what we want. We want God to come on the backside of us and shine a light that we see from this day to the day we die, what's going to happen. We want to know everything. Okay, Lord. But God doesn't work that way for the most part. God says, "I'll come and stand right on the side of you, like as close as a brother, Jesus." And He says, "Just take one step at a time, and I'll light the path for you." Obey God in the little things, and God will move in the big things. Obey God in the big things, and God will move in the little things. That's the kind of God we serve, people. And all of a sudden, they took those bowls, and she came, and she started pouring into that bowl. And all of a sudden, she knows what she has. Let's say a cup of oil. We know a cup's not going to go that far if that's how much it was. It wasn't much. Whatever. We can say a cup, we can say whatever. She takes that bowl, her son, and she moves. She said, "There's still some." You take the son, brings another bowl, a vessel, and moves it in. There's some more in there, Lewis. Why not? "But my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory." My God shall supply. You're looking at it. Okay, Lord, here's supply. They take another vessel, bring it, pour some more, and it's still full. Puts it to the side. Comes and brings a big barrel because, you know, we want more. Fill this thing up. And she starts pouring. And it just fills up more. Okay. She looks in there, and there's still some. Obedience brings the blessings of God. They pushed that aside and bring some more vessels. Kept on and on. How long it happened for it till there was no more vessels? God will supply till there's nothing else to supply for. God will move upon faith till there's no more faith. God will move upon situations till there's no more situations. That's the kind of God we serve. My God. Look. We need to not limit what God can do. I know the world will try to limit God and even come to the place where they say there is no God. But let me tell you, we know there's a God that sits upon his throne. And we know there's Jesus Christ sitting on the right side of the Father. And we know from the scriptures that the power of the Holy Spirit is roaming the earth right now, doing a mighty work for the kingdom of God, commissioned by the Father as he leashes it out upon the earth and upon his children's lives. We're not here alone. We're here by the power and the anointing and the presence of Almighty God. That's the kind of God we serve. And let me tell you, they kept putting those palm branches down. They didn't know what else to put them down. And all of a sudden, Jerusalem kept hearing, and those religious leaders kept hearing the noise of people praising him. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. My God. Praise unto them. Don't you think that boosted the King of Kings to know that yet his death was coming in a week? But all of these people right here on either side of him that were throwing their clothes in front of the cult, that would cut down branches, that he was going to die for them. They needed a Savior. And he was willing to lay down his life because his Father asked him to do it. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. There's no other God like your God alone. There's no other like him. No other. And let me tell you, if you can believe God for it, and if it's in God's will, you shall have it. There's no question in my mind. If you can believe God for it, and he says no because he knows what's best, well, it's just no, and you will never have it. We can't change the mind of God. That's not faith. We cannot change the mind of God. We can only get in tune and in line with the mind of Christ. That's why I can pray up there for our family members, because I know it's in the line of God for every person to be saved and to give their lives to the Lord. So as we pray, we are coming in agreement with our Father to believe for miracles to happen in our family members, that God would save their souls, because the time is short. We got to preach the gospel. All of a sudden, that, can you imagine? The value of that coat went up 150% because of who he carried. The King of Kings. He carried your king and my king. And yet death would come. But he carried it. I'm sure that Pope didn't know when he was born that God had that in mind for him. Can't think like human beings. But how valuable he is. People, sometimes we think we're not much of a value to God. But let me tell you, you are. And the devil knows it too. The devil knows how valuable you are to God. And he knows what's in you. He knows what's in you. How you can fight. How you can bring people to salvation. How you can pray and seek God. How your faith can move mountains. That's the power of Almighty God. Our value and our worth is not in us. We're zero. But our value and our worth is in our God and what he did at Calvary's cross. Because it's the cross of Calvary that changed everything for the church upon the earth today. It is where we get our power, it is where we get our strength, it's where we look to get wisdom and help from. The cross of Calvary, what Jesus did at the cross. Not so much the cross itself, but what he did in winning victory for the church itself. What a day that must have been a week before to hear the praise going for Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest to the King of Kings because of what the colt was doing. Not much value in the colt, but God, Jesus Christ, gave him value. You see, we take our value from who he is
and what he's done for us at Calvary's cross.
You may stand, please.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. As every head is bowed, please, for just a minute, there is a hand. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you're saying, I have not done so, but I'd like to do so, would you just raise your hand so we can pray with you this morning? I know we have many people watching from Facebook. I want to ask them the exact same question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Let's all pray together. As far as I can see, everybody here is saying amen. But let's pray together because I know we have people watching. Say, Heavenly Father,
I ask you
to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior and as my God. And I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept Jesus as my God, that he will live through me from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. You may look this way, but Jelaine and I, we appreciate you guys. We thank God for you, and we love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. God bless you. And who's praying before we do? Andrew, would you come and pray before we do?
Thank you, Kathy.
Father God, as we come to you, Father God, as we go on this week, Father God, we ask that you lead us and guide us, Father God. Show us a person that we can talk to, Father God. Show us a soul, Father God, that is going to hell that we can help, Father God, that we can help get into your kingdom, Father God.